guys, it's Carly. Welcome back to Mostly Balanced. I hope everybody had a great weekend. I'm excited to be back today with another solo episode. So today's episode is going to be answering a lot of listener questions. We have so many fun topics today. We're talking about early dating. We're talking about defining the relationship. We're talking about long-term relationships, getting back together. If you're new here, as a reminder, you can submit questions over Instagram or over email. So on Instagram, I put up a question box in my story at least a couple times every single week. So shorter questions can be sent that way. But if you have something that's a little bit longer, I love getting those questions too. I love all the details, the screenshots, whatever you have. You can send that over DM on Instagram or you can send me an email. Our Instagram handle is @mostlybalancedpodcast and the email is hello@wearemostlybalanced.com. I'll put both of those in the show notes below, but don't ever hesitate to reach out. We dive into these questions on the podcast, and like I said, I answer a lot of them on Instagram. I also wanted to remind everybody that I'm still hosting the giveaway that I mentioned last week. So this is a big box of a lot of my favorite products. Like I said last week, there's skincare products. There's a SolarWave wand in there, which is like my favorite skincare device ever. There are some conversation decks. There's a desktop humidifier, which I'm obsessed with. And the point of it is to celebrate all of you guys. I'm so grateful to have you here listening, to have you joining in on the conversation on Instagram. I just recently hit over 100,000 followers, which is a big milestone for any creator. But for me, I'm just so excited. I can't believe it. It feels like just yesterday that I was having this podcast for like 4 listeners. And now it's an amazing community that I'm so, so grateful for. I actually was on a panel last week for women's sexual wellness. And it was so cool because I got to meet a few of you guys who were there in person. It was a nice, small, intimate group. And it was just so fun to put like faces to Instagram handles that I've been chatting with in DMs or answering questions from. And it's just really cool. I'm so grateful for all of you guys being here. So all that's to say, enter this giveaway. I want to show you guys the appreciation. All you have to do to enter is subscribe to my new newsletter, which is launching this week on Wednesday. It's called Mostly Dating. It's going to be exactly what it sounds like. Mostly dating advice, relationship advice, a lot of similar topics that you'll see me talking about on Instagram, but just a way to dive a little bit deeper into it, to have sort of like a closer knit conversation. So there'll be interaction there. Maybe we'll have a group for us all to chat in. I'll be hosting more giveaways on there. I'll be hosting hopefully more in-person events. And it's just, again, another way to build the community out. I'll also share some of my favorite products on there, some other accounts that I love following, articles that I'm loving. The possibilities are endless. I'm just really excited to have this new mode of communication with all of you. So to sign up, just head to the link in the show notes, subscribe, and you'll be entered into the giveaway, which will end at the end of this month. Okay, I'm going to get into some listener questions. Okay, so the first question is, how do you go from dating to integrating into each other's lives? Does it happen naturally? I really like this question because I've definitely been in situations before where I've started dating someone, we've been on a few dates, it's going really well, but then you might start to feel like, oh, I feel like I'm like in this bubble with this person. Like you want to feel more like you guys are creating a relationship together and really, like they said, integrating into each other's lives. I personally do think that it happens naturally. I think that you can do some things to really like push it along a little bit and everybody's timelines are different. But this is something that like in the early days of dating, by getting to know each other, you'll start to feel more like a part of each other's lives. So I don't think it's a good sign if it's been like a couple of months and you feel like you're in a bubble. Like I think that you really need, if you do feel like that, then you need to figure out how to expand it. And so a big part of that and something I get questions about a lot is meeting each other's friends, meeting each other's family. Those are two things that people tend to think like, when should I do this? How do I bring it up? Is it a bad sign if I haven't met this person yet? Is it a bad sign if they don't want to come out with my friends? I get a lot of those questions. And like I said, every timeline is different. But personally, I think that it's really important to meet someone's friends like very early on, at least the people that they're like super close with. So that's why this is actually one of the questions that I suggest asking on early dates. And I think it's such a good question just to ask somebody like, who are the people that you're closest to? Or who knows you the best? Who do you go to when you're upset? Who could tell me the most about you? Like kind of like just fun questions like that to really figure out like who the closest people in their life are. And the reason that's important is because if you guys are going to have a serious relationship, those people will be part of your life too. Same thing with like your friends are going to be a part of their life and the people who you're close to are going to be a part of their life. That's how you mold together, is really like introducing them to those aspects of your life. So I think the earlier you can do that, the better. My gauge of like when the right time to do that is when like this is somebody that you feel confident that you can see a future with. So that doesn't mean you have to feel like you're going to marry them, but is this somebody that you want to have in your life that you can see staying in your life for a longer amount of time? If yes, then by all means, introduce them to your friends, bring them around your family if you're close with your family. That's personally how I feel about it. I also am like, I'm really close with my family. So it's always been important to me that somebody that I date comes around my family and meets my family and is willing to do those things. And I think that that's like a conversation that you can have with your partner as well. If meeting the family means something different to them, like really just communicate to them like what this means to you and why it's important to you. But I think that friends are something that like is just generally seen as a little bit more like lighthearted than meeting the family. It's not some big event. It doesn't like hold this huge weight to it. I think it can be an easy, natural introduction to really integrating into each other's lives. So I personally think that I'm trying to think of what I did with my current boyfriend. I think that we met each other's friends like 2 months into it. And it was a little bit different because in the beginning we weren't living in the same place. We were living like an hour and a half apart. So we were going out on dates like once a week, probably for like the first month. And then the second month it started being more often. And then once we were living in the same place, it was a lot easier to like integrate more and invite each other to things that were with friends. Like otherwise, like it would have to be like very planned out dates. Ideally, you would introduce each other to your friends before you define the relationship. And we'll talk more about defining the relationship in a little bit, but there are a number of reasons why it's important to meet someone's friends and to have them meet your friends. And like I said, I keep saying friends, but if you feel like you don't have like a ton of super close friends, that's not what I mean. You don't have to have like this big like meeting of the friends and a huge friend group. I don't have a huge friend group. I just think it's important to meet the people who are most important in their life. So the people that they spend the most time with. It shouldn't be like if you're 2 months into dating somebody and you can see yourself dating them seriously and you're both on the same page with that, there shouldn't need to be like separate nights. Like they have a plan with friends, so you have to meet them another night. Like it can be, you can start to invite each other to those plans. Still maintain your lives outside of each other, but start to put out that invitation and try to spend time around the people that you guys are both close with. So the reason that that's important, you can learn so much about somebody by the way they are around their friends and by who their friends are. Some people might disagree with this. Some people think might be like offended by this. Like, oh, my boyfriend's friends are not a representation of him. Like, I don't like his friends and that doesn't have anything to do with him. Or like, oh, like his friend cheats on their girlfriend all the time. Like that doesn't mean that he's going to. Like, and I'm not saying it does mean that, but I am saying that the people that you spend the most time with are a representation of you. And that's just a known fact. The people that you're closest with, that says something about you. You wouldn't be close with somebody if you didn't relate to them in some way. And the people you spend time around do impact the way that you act and the person that you are. So if, for example, you spend like 6 months dating somebody before meeting their friends, and then you meet their friends and you're like, oh my God, like these people are horrible. They don't have any of the same values as me. Like, I don't understand why I see friends with them. Like, that to me is a red flag. That means there's a difference between the person that he is around them and the person he is around you. And it's like, which person is the real person? And is he putting on an act when he's with me, or is he putting on an act when he's with them? It's important to note that like it's not easy to end a friendship, and some friendships do stay their course for longer than they should. Like you might be listening and thinking like, oh no, like are my friends a representation of me? Like I don't want them to be. Maybe that means you've grown apart from a few of your friends. But that's why it's really important to understand who the people are that they're super close with and make that the people that you're really starting to meet early on. I also think you can tell a lot about somebody by the way they are around your friends and how willing and open they are to meeting your friends and to doing the things that you want them to do. I do always like to caveat that, of course, everybody has different timelines. So maybe you went on 2 dates with somebody and then you're going out with your friends and you want to invite them to come because you think it would be a fun night out with friends. I don't think you should be really like thrown off or turned off if they're like, if they turn that invitation down, if maybe it's too soon for them to meet your friends. I think that that's fine. Like some people hold a lot of weight to that and they don't view it as casually. But I do think if you guys are both on the same path and you feel like you have discussed what you want for your relationship and you guys are going towards a serious relationship and you're getting to that point where you want to define the relationship, then I think it's probably not a good sign if they're still not open to being around your friends. I think that it's just not good to be, like I said earlier, in that bubble. So that's a long-winded way of just saying that, yeah, it happens naturally, but I think you should be really cognizant of it early on because there are ways that you can really show somebody that you want them to integrate into your life and that you want to integrate into theirs. And so to show them that you want them to be a part, bigger part of your life, that's really what you can do. You can invite them to those things. You can ask them to meet your friends. You can invite them to family things once it gets a little further in and you feel comfortable doing that. You can also maybe ask them to do something with you that's like one of your passions or your hobbies. I really don't think it's super important for your partner to have the same exact hobbies as you. I think they should have, like I've said before, the same values or similar values and have similar interests to you, but they don't need to have the exact same hobbies. But the caveat is they should show interest in those things that you are passionate about. So if you are obsessed with going to the gym, they don't need to be obsessed with going to the gym too, but they should show interest in that. And that's one way to integrate them into your life. Like maybe they're not like a super big fitness enthusiast like you are, but they could show they're interested in it by coming with you to a workout class if you want them to, or they could show they're interested in it by coming to cheer you on in a race that you're running, whatever it is, just sort of starting to do things with each other that aren't necessarily always dates. So that's a big part of it too. One way to integrate into each other's lives is to literally just like live life together without it being a planned date. I think that planned dates are super important. I think that people should be putting in effort early on. And I think even throughout a relationship, you should be going on planned dates. But to integrate into each other's lives, it has to be more than that. So you need to be having times where you're just like hanging out with nothing planned. Maybe you're just sitting on the couch watching TV, or maybe you go and hang out at their apartment and you're reading a book while they're doing some work. Like, I think just doing things like that together will make you feel like you guys are really integrating into each other's lives. It's funny, I'm actually thinking about when this happened in my own relationship. So like I said earlier, we weren't living in the same place for the first like 6 weeks or so. And he was living in the city and I was living like an hour and a half out of the city. I had moved out of the city for a little while, but I was planning on coming back. And so in my break from living in the city, of course, is when I met somebody who lived here. So I remember soon after I moved back and we were finally in the same place, it was like the first time that every time we saw each other didn't have to be like this whole plan that I was coming in for, this planned date, like I said. So there was this day that we just were at his apartment. We both work from home and we were both just like working from his apartment. I remember we like picked up Sweetgreen for lunch and then we were kind of just like both working throughout the day. And then at the end of that day is like when I really, and I knew before that I liked him, but it was like suddenly something had switched and I really felt like, wow, I can see this being like an actual relationship. And of course, it had to do with the fact that like I was finally settled in the place that I was and we had been seeing each other, like I said, for like 6 weeks or a couple months, whatever it was. That has something to do with it. Like it takes a little while to like really be sure. But I think what really did it was just like seeing him in his natural environment, being in my natural environment around him and feeling like I was just like, oh, I can see him integrating into my life. I can see myself integrating into his life. Like I can see us building this relationship together. And it's interesting because that was before we met most of each other's friends and it was before we met each other's families, but it was just like a representation of, okay, like, yeah, I knew things were great, like on dates and he was good at planning dates and it was fun going out to dinner and going out to drinks and doing these activities. Like I knew I really liked him in that sense, but how do you feel when you're just like doing nothing with them? When you're just sitting on the couch watching TV or when you're in the same apartment, just both working or one of you's reading and the other one's working, like you just meet up and don't really have a plan or you spend your first like couple of days together. Like how does that feel? It is a huge indicator of what the relationship will be like, and it can really help you feel like you're really integrating into each other's lives. So those are a few things to keep in mind if you feel like you're in those early dating stages, but you haven't yet really like popped the bubble and really like started to build that relationship together. Okay, the next question is, we broke up, but he still stalks my social media every day. Why do men do that? This one made me laugh. I don't know why they do it. I don't know why women do it. I don't know why anyone does it. I've definitely done this before. I mean, I've never stalked someone's social media every day, but I've definitely checked someone's social media after we broke up. I've definitely looked at ex's social media, even if I'm not interested in them at all. And I've also definitely like evaluated or dissected like what it could mean that somebody views my stories within 5 minutes of posting it. Even though we broke up, I think that it's so natural to do that. But the straight, easy answer to this is it means nothing, like literally nothing. I wouldn't read into this. I wouldn't think about it. honestly, if you find yourself reading into it, and if you find yourself checking your story, checking who viewed it, checking like if they're there, if you see their name there, I would just remove them from your followers or block them. I used to think that was kind of like petty to block someone or remove them, but it's just like a boundary. It's another way of setting a boundary. I talked about this in a previous episode when I was giving someone advice that had been blocked by someone. And what I said is like, that was them setting a boundary. And yeah, it sucks. And it might feel bad if somebody does that to you, but you have to know yourself. You have to know that you're like holding on to this, or that this is making you question it. This is making it harder for you to move on, and just remove them. It's going to make things easier in the long run, I swear. If you don't do that, just keep reminding yourself. It honestly doesn't mean anything. Them looking at it doesn't mean they want to get back together. It's literally just human nature to be curious about people. Okay, this one is a tough one. How to get past your boyfriend dating someone else while you were on a break. And this is funny because I was actually just talking about this to somebody, but of course my initial gut reaction is like, you shouldn't have gotten back together with your boyfriend. Like, you shouldn't go on a break. I'm anti-break. That's how I always answer these questions and what I always say. Like, you want to know if you should reach out to your ex? No, you shouldn't. Like, those are just like cut and dried answers that you'll tend to see me give. And when I'm doing that, it doesn't mean that I like actually think that it can never work to get back together, or can never work to go on a break. Like, of course it can. I know people that that's worked for. I know people who have gotten back with exes who have gone on breaks and now are in successful relationships. I just think that those are like such a small percentage of people. And it's like one of those exception versus the rule thing. So I don't promote rules. I don't really believe in rules, but it's more like exception versus the norm. It's, I guess, what I'll call it. So I think that the norm is that breaks don't work. I think that breaks are just, they should just be a breakup. I think if you aren't sure about somebody, if you think you need a break, if you both need to work on yourselves, like, that's great. You should take a break. You should work on yourself, but that should just be a break from dating. You shouldn't get back together with them. You should take a break, work on yourself, and then figure out what's right for you. And it wasn't that person. I think if it didn't work with them the first time, it's probably not going to work with them again. Again, there are exceptions to this. Like I said, I know them. This has worked for people. But I just think that this is one of those reasons why this situation can just get too messy and won't be worth it. That being said, there are, of course, ways to get past the fact that your boyfriend dated someone else while you were not together. If that's what you want to do, if this relationship is what you want and you both are sure of it, I think that one thing that can help is if you ask yourself a lot of questions before you get back into the relationship. So I'm not going to dive too deep into that because I've talked about it in past episodes before. I can link those episodes below, and I'll also link posts that I have on this. There's a lot of questions you can ask yourself before you reach out to your ex or before you get back together with your ex. But they all center around like, what's changed? What have you learned? What's going to be different? And are you getting back into this relationship to like go into the past or to move into the future with this person and to build a relationship based on the two people that you are today, not who you were when you were together last? So if that's the case and these people are back together and they're trying to move forward and they've worked on things and they feel really crystal clear about why they got back into this relationship and what they both want from it, then I don't think that it should be a deal breaker that one of you dated somebody else while you were apart. I think it's honestly probably pretty likely, depending on how long the break is, that you at least went out on a date or had some type of relationship while you weren't with this person. So I think that what's important is to like really just decide that you're going to be okay with it. And that sounds like pretty simple and straightforward, but I know it's not easy. Give yourself grace for the fact that like you are going to be bothered by this. It's okay to be bothered by it. But what matters is like what you do with how you feel. So if you're telling them like they've been straightforward with you, they told you they were in this relationship or they dated this person while you guys weren't together, and you've said like, that's fine, I still want to get back together, I still want to give us a try for whatever reasons there are that you guys discussed, you're confident that your relationship is going to be better this time and you really want to give it that fair chance, then you have to do that. Like, you can't harp on this thing that you said you were okay with. Like I said, it's okay for it to bother you, but if you feel like you can't stop bringing it up every time you get an argument, or you want to keep asking them questions about this relationship that they had, or you just feel like you can't stop thinking about it, I think that might be a red flag of like other things and other reasons why you might not want to be back in this relationship and why this relationship might not be for you. But I think it takes time. I think that if you decide you're okay with it and you want to move past it, which it sounds like you do, then you just have to keep pushing forward. You have to keep, every time it comes up, reminding yourself like, they're not with this person anymore. They're with me for all of these reasons that I just listed, for all these reasons that like I really worked through while we were apart and while we were getting back together. this is the relationship that they want. It's the relationship that I want. And I need to put this out of my head. Just have those little pep talks. Maybe make a list in your phone about the reasons why this isn't a big deal, about the reasons why you're with this person. And just remind yourself of that when these thoughts start to come back into your head. And just know that, like I said, it's going to take some time. So hopefully this relationship works out. You guys are together for a long time. And then this is just a blip in the radar and it's not something that you really think about. So just like take it one day at a time and try not to let it impact the way that you're acting and the effort that you're putting into this relationship. Okay, what to do if you feel like you aren't in someone's league, but they ask you out? For some reason, I've gotten so many questions like this over the past few weeks, and it just makes me sad. I'm like, if this person is asking you out, don't question whether you're good enough for them or whether they're out of your league. They're asking you out because they are interested in you. Don't spend the time waiting for the other shoe to drop. Don't convince yourself that once they meet you in real life, they're not going to be interested in you anymore. Just like take the fact that they're asking you out as a confidence booster and just take it as proof that they're not out of your league. Like if you're interested in them, go out with them. It's as simple as that. Go out on a date with them. The first date, all it is just getting to know somebody new. Don't put a lot of pressure on it. Don't be like building your future around this person just yet. Just take it as an opportunity to, this is a person that I think seems super cool, super attractive. I'm interested in getting to know. They're interested in getting to know me. Let's go out and figure out if we want to keep getting to know each other. But of course, I know that that's easier said than done. Like you're not always going to feel the most confident. I don't always feel the most confident. It's normal to have self-doubt and insecurities, but what's really going to help you in this situation is really working on that self-love and becoming the person that you would want to date, that you can't believe anyone doesn't want to date, that you're so confident that the people that ask you out aren't out of your league. They're asking you out because you're so cool and you're so interesting and you're so fun to be around. You should be the person that you want to be around the most. And I truly, truly believe that. And again, of course, I've had times when like I don't feel like that super confident, amazing person. But when I am like living in my best state of mind and I'm showing myself self-love and I'm doing all my favorite self-care things and I'm doing the things that make me feel good, that's when like I attract the people that I know are like on my level, that I'm on their level, that we're both like adding to each other's lives. And I feel like so, so confident because I love being around myself. So why would this person not love being around me? And that's like the way that you should really try to think about these things. And I think that if you're struggling with that a lot, again, it's totally normal, but those are the things that you should do to get to that place. Figure out what makes you confident. Figure out what makes you feel good. What makes you happy? What do you love about yourself? And really lean into those things. Do more of the things that make you feel confident, the things that make you feel happy, and really like focus on those things that you love about yourself. So try like waking up every day and writing down 3 things that you love about yourself, or just thinking it in your head, like thinking about those qualities about yourself, physical or emotional or whatever they are that you really love, and just like really focus on them. Don't focus on that one small thing that you wish you could change. Focus on all the things that are great about you and why anybody would be lucky to date you. Okay, so this kind of reminds me of the earlier question about integrating into each other's lives, but I still want to just touch on it for a minute. So this person said, 2 months into a relationship and it feels like we barely know each other. How to address it? So I don't necessarily think that you need to like formally address this with somebody, but I do think that it's important that you're recognizing this and it's so normal. So I used to feel like really overwhelmed when I was on dating apps and when I was like out there trying to meet somebody, because I was like in my early 30s and I was like, I feel like I know myself so well. I'm so sure about like what I want. And I've like really like established myself and this life that I want. I was like so nervous. I was like, how am I going to like meet somebody now and really like let them into my life? And like, how are they going to get to know like 30 years of me? Within like the first couple of months of dating, how am I ever going to feel like this person really knows me? How am I ever really going to know this person? It's like really overwhelming to think about getting to know someone so well that you're like really confident in a relationship with them. But then I noticed that it just happens so naturally in the right relationship. So if you feel like you're trying to like break down walls, it's a sign that this relationship might not be the best relationship for you. But if you just feel like you're like kind of still surface level with somebody, but you're really liking getting to know them, they're showing the same interests that you are, and you guys are on a good path, and you've talked about what you want for the relationship, and things are going smoothly, but you just want to like go a little bit deeper. Honestly, I think that's probably how like everybody feels 2 months in. So I think that there are some good ways to do this. Like I said, you don't have to formally address it. Just like let it happen and push it along a little bit. So early on, the advice that I gave about like integrating into each other's lives and like spending time together that's not a planned date, those are all things that you can do to get to know each other better. but also make sure you're asking the right question. So I'll talk about this like literally until my face goes blue. I think that asking questions is so, so important. And people who ask questions are proven to be liked better than those who don't ask questions. So asking them questions and asking them the right open-ended questions to really start like deeper conversations than maybe those more surface level conversations you have on early dates is really going to help you get to know them. And if you want help doing this, you can get a conversation deck. I've talked about a lot of them on here. We even had founders of a couple different conversation decks on the podcast. We had Michael Tennant, who founded the company Actually Curious. That is one of my all-time favorite decks. I'm going to link it in the show notes. But it's like a fun activity for you to do with somebody, especially like 2 months in. Maybe you're just hanging out at each other's place. And you just bring out these conversation cards and you let the cards ask the tough questions for you. So some of them are more lighthearted, some of them are more deep, but whatever they are, it just is fun because it opens up the door for conversations that you might not have thought about on your own. And it really gets the ball rolling on getting to know somebody better. So that's one way to like introduce new topics into the relationship and really feel like you're like starting to get to know somebody on a deeper level. And I also have a lot of different posts on my feed with questions to ask, which I can also link in the show notes, but I have questions to ask on early dates. I have questions to ask about the future early on. I have questions just to ask your partner at any stage in the relationship, questions to ask your partner to laugh together and build intimacy together. I have so many questions and I like test these questions out on my boyfriend before I post them and they're good questions. So, and he's just like a typical guy. He's not like a guy who also has like a dating platform or a guy who asks these questions naturally. And he's still always open to having these conversations and answering these questions. So just trust me when I say that like anybody who's worth dating and worth building a relationship with isn't going to like roll their eyes at you when you want to have a conversation or roll their eyes at you when you want to like pull out your conversation deck and get to know each other better. They're going to want to get to know you better too. So why not just push things along a little bit with a list that you found on Instagram or a deck of cards that you bought online? I think it could just be like a fun way to introduce a little bit more open communication and deeper conversation topics into the relationship. Another thing that I've recommended a lot in the past that I think has really helped me in relationships get to know my partner better is just like expanding your horizons in terms of the dates that you're going on. So we talked about this a little bit last week, but just going into different settings, maybe learning something new together, doing an activity together, stepping outside of your routine together, traveling together, doing these like new experiences together really can help you not only like bond you together and build a deeper connection, but just help you get to know them. Any activity you do with someone is going to open the door to learn something new about them that you might not learn if you were never in that situation with them. I also got a question from somebody asking how to strengthen communication in a 3-year relationship. So that just shows that like communication and getting to know each other is something that you're always, always, always going to be working on. And that's the beautiful thing about a good, healthy relationship is that you're both going to be willing to strengthen communication and we want to keep getting to know each other. Like you're not going to, if you're with somebody for 3 years, you're probably not the same person that you were 3 years ago. So you want to keep getting to know the people that you guys are evolving into and letting your relationship evolve with you. In order to like really strengthen communication and to continue to get to know each other, I think that you need to make sure that you're having those conversations when you're not just in an argument. So that's kind of how I answered this question was I have been guilty of this in the past where I'm only bringing up the things that I'm concerned about or only bringing up the tough conversations when we're like already both heated and already having a discussion that's like high emotions and like more conflict. And that's like not the best way to bring up things. So when you're in like that conflict and you're in an argument, you need to focus on solving that argument. So focus on not arguing against each other, but making it you two against the conflict. So that should be a theme of every disagreement and every argument that you guys have. It should be like getting to the root of what is actually wrong there. And how do you guys work together to figure it out? It's not like I'm right, no, I'm right, and arguing against each other. So I think that having that mindset in any argument and disagreement is going to help like keep that conflict resolution to literally conflict resolution and not back and forth arguments that drag on. So when you're doing that, then you can save those other bigger topics, concerns, things that you want to talk about for times when things are like a little bit more calm and you guys are in a better place and you're not resolving conflict already. And just do that by, like I said, you're sitting on the couch. Just bring up the topic. Say, oh, I was thinking maybe we can check in on our relationship right now. Like nothing bad at all. I just want to voice a few things that I've been thinking about and then see where your head is at as well. You could also say like, oh, I saw this relationship check-in on Instagram. Can I ask you a few questions? You can ask me back. Like just make it fun, I think, is a good way to just like bring up these conversations that might feel like really nerve-wracking to bring up. bring them up in a lighthearted way. You can still get deep with it, but just making sure that everybody's like comfortable in the situation and that you're both relaxed when you're coming into that conversation. I also think it's important to figure out when you both like to talk. So I keep giving the example of bringing things up when you're sitting on the couch watching TV. But maybe one of you doesn't like talking about things at that point. Maybe sitting on the couch watching TV is when you like really unwind and you don't want to have like a big important conversation. Maybe to you, you like having a conversation when you're like out for a walk or in the morning when you wake up or before you go to bed. Like everybody has different times when they're going to be more willing and open to talking about things. So I think that's another thing that could be helpful to ask your partner as well, is when do they feel comfortable having these conversations? And is it something that you guys can instate that you have this check-in with each other every month or whatever it is, will be really, really helpful. I also think I'd be remiss not to mention that to strengthen communication in a relationship, you could always go to therapy. This is a 3-year relationship. Couples therapy isn't just for married couples. It's not just for couples who are going through like huge issues. It could just be for people, 2 people who know they want to be together long-term and want to strengthen that communication. It's just like how you can go to therapy even when nothing is wrong. Like you can go to solo therapy when nothing is wrong. You just want to like make yourself a little bit better. You can go to couples therapy just to make the relationship and your communication a little bit better. Okay, this is the last one I'm going to do. This person said, I became exclusive with someone after 2 months. We've now been seeing each other for 4 months. Do I need to define the relationship? He's meeting my mom in 4 days. Okay, I love this question because it brings up a topic that Mia, my former co-host, and I used to talk about all the time, which is like, what on earth is the difference between exclusive and defining the relationship? And I say that like laughing because we used to both not know that this was a thing. We used to both just think like you define the relationship, you say what you guys are, you're in a relationship and that's like being exclusive, whatever it is, that's all the same. But then like exclusivity started becoming a thing. And it's like, why do we have so many steps in a relationship? Can't we just like date each other and then decide we want to be in a relationship? Why do we have to date and then be exclusive and then define the relationship? But I'm not going to go on a whole rant about it because it seems to be just the way things are. And unfortunately, I do think that there are a lot of people, and I say unfortunately, it's not necessarily unfortunate, it's just like funny to me. I do think that there are a lot of people who need to have this exclusive period before they actually define the relationship to be your girlfriend or to be your boyfriend or to be whatever you guys call each other. One reason for this is very understandable, like especially if you have a physical relationship with them, but you're not quite ready to like be their girlfriend or be their boyfriend or be in a committed, like serious long-term relationship and you're afraid of putting a label on it, but you want to make sure you're exclusive because you want to be safe and make sure that if you have a physical relationship, they're not also sleeping with other people or whatever it is. That could be one reason. Another reason is if somebody feels like they're fairly confident that they see a future with you and they want to keep exploring it and they just don't feel comfortable knowing that you're also seeing other people. That seems to be like the most common reason that people do this. It's kind of just like a stepping stone, like a little, like a promise ring, like a little, oh, I do think this is going to be a relationship. I'm not quite ready yet, but let's like show that we are both committed to exploring the opportunity by not seeing other people in the meantime. For me, it's always been like an unspoken thing in relationships. Like it's like, yeah, if I'm liking getting to know this person, I'm probably going to stop dating other people. Doesn't mean we have to like define the relationship tomorrow, but I don't have all the time in the world to be going on dates. So when I have time to go on a date, I'm going to want to go on a date with a person who I see a future with. And then I'm going to spend my other time doing all the other things that I do in life, like hanging out with friends and doing my own things and working, whatever it is. So I think that like should just happen naturally. But for whatever reason, this is just like a part of relationships now. It was a part of mine too. Like we were exclusive before defining the relationship and I was like confused by it in the beginning. It ended up working out. But like to answer this question, we did have to have like a conversation of defining the relationship after we had the conversation of being exclusive. I think if this is important to your partner, then that's fine. And you can have the exclusive phase before defining the relationship, but I don't think it's necessary. I do think it's necessary to define it. If you've only talked about being exclusive, I think the defining part is really necessary. And that's like a generational thing. Like if people are listening from other generations, you might be like just so confused right now because it's like, what are all these steps? Like I said earlier. But if all you guys have talked about is the fact that you're exclusively seeing each other and you're not seeing other people, but you haven't talked about like, is this my boyfriend? Is this my girlfriend? What do we both want for a long-term relationship? How do we define commitment? What are we looking for? Those kinds of things. I think that's really important to have that conversation. I personally would want to have it before he meets your mom. Like this person said, he's meeting my mom in 4 days. Use that as a good reason to bring it up. So say, I know we've been exclusive for a couple months now. I'm really enjoying it. Just want to make sure we're on the same page, like moving forward into our relationship. I personally see you as my boyfriend. That's how I was planning on introducing you to my mom, but I don't want to throw you off. And I want to make sure that you're on the same page and that you want the same thing. I'm going to have a post this week about how to define the relationship, but it's literally as simple as that. I say simple, I don't say easy. Like, it's simple because it's cut and dried. You can have this conversation, it can be straightforward. But I know you're going to be nervous going into it. Most people, like, you're going to feel afraid. What if they say no? That's the worst that happens. They're not on the same page with you. They say no. You know that now. You decide if you want to wait for them to get on the same page with you, or you don't want to wait and you want to end it for somebody who is going to just be on the same page with you from the start. So the example that I just gave has like all the pieces of what I'm going to explain in my post this week about how to do it. But it's basically like you want to make sure that you're just opening with where you're at. You're leading with where you're at and how you feel and what you want and what this relationship is to you, instead of just what are we and putting it all on them. Take the power into your own hands, lead with how you're feeling, tell them that you see this as a relationship, that you consider them your boyfriend, you consider them your girlfriend, whatever it is, and then give them the space to tell you where they're at. And don't go into it expecting what they're going to say, but go into it knowing how you'll react based off of what they say. So if they say, yeah, of course, like, you're my girlfriend, I'm your boyfriend, whatever it is, that's great. And then you guys can just move forward. You can, again, like I said, talk about what that means to you, talk about what you both want for the future, for the long term. Maybe you can use this as an opportunity to talk about those things. But if they say like, oh, I'm loving getting to know you too, I'm happy that we've been exclusive for a couple months, I'm not like quite ready to put a label on it, but I still really want to meet your mom, you'll have to know, like, are you okay with that? So that's where a little bit of the like knowing if you want to wait or if you want to not wait comes in. That's different for every single situation. So some people are going to be okay with giving a little bit more time, but I think that it's really important to like ask those clarifying questions, ask them like what they see as the timeline for the relationship. Why are they comfortable meeting your mom but not putting a label on your relationship? What's going to make them okay with putting a label on the relationship? Is there something specific that they're waiting for? Is there something specific that they need from you in order to get there? Like, what are those missing pieces and how can you guys kind of like merge from different lanes into the same lane? If you're both going to the same destination, how are you going to get there? When are you going to meet there? All of those questions that might seem overwhelming and difficult, this is the time to have them, because you don't want to just like sit around waiting, wondering if exclusive means that he's your boyfriend or she's your girlfriend or whatever it is. Okay, so I am going to end it there because we've answered a lot of great questions. Next week, I'm going to be back with a guest. Actually, the next couple of weeks, I have guest episodes that I'm really excited about, guests that people have actually specifically suggested or asked for. So a lot of fun things coming up. But then I'm going to, of course, be back with solo episodes in between the guest episodes. I love having these because I love diving deeper into these questions. So like I said, anytime you want to ask a question or you have a topic that you want me to talk about on my own or with a guest, if you have a guest recommendation, you can email me to hello@wearemostlybalanced.com. Or you can send a DM to @mostlybalancedpodcast on Instagram, or you can ask in a question box on our story a few times every week. And don't forget to enter the giveaway. You can look at the link in the show notes or head to the link in my bio on Instagram. Sign up for the newsletter. It'll be going out this Wednesday. It's called Mostly Dating, and I'm so excited to hear what you guys think. And if you're liking the podcast, please leave a rating and a review. I will talk to you all next week.